नश्रोष्यसि विनंशसि मच्छित्तः सर्वदुर्गाणि मत्प्रसादादरिष्यसि अथ चेत् त्वमहङ्कारान् नश्रोष्यसि विनंशसि मच्छित्तः सर्वदुर्गाणि मत्प्रसादादरिष्यसि अथ चेत् त्वमहङ्कारान् मज्जिता सर्वदुर्गाणि मत्प्रसादादरिष्यसि अथ चेत् त्वमहङ्कारान् न शोष्यसि विनंशसि मच्चित्तः मीन्स् इफ् यु बिकम् कान्शियस् आफ् मी सर्वदुर्गाणि मत्प्रसादात् तरिष्यति सर्वदुर्गाणि आल् ऑब्स्टिकल् मत्प्रसादात् बै मै मर्सि तरिष्यति यु विल् पास् ओवर् आल् ऑब्स्टिकल् सो दिस् इस् इन्क्लूडिङ्ग् सेक्शन् आफ़् द गीता वेल् लार्ड् कृष्ण इस् टेलिङ्ग् अर्जुन दट् इफ् यु बिकम् कान्शियस् आफ़् मी दट् मीन्स् इफ् यु ओबे मी वाट् ऐ एम् टेलिङ्ग् एण्ड् आक्ट् अकार्डिङ्ग्लि देन् यु विल् पास् ओवर् ऑब्स्टिकल्स् बै मै ग्रेस् अथ चेत् इस् गिविङ्ग् ऑप्शन् इफ् हौ एवर् यु डोण्ट् बिकम् कान्शियस् आफ़् मी tamahankar out of false ego you think you know better you don't become conscious of me then nashoshyati vinamshyati vinamshyati means you will be lost so there are many verses like this in the bhagavad gita where lord krishna gives arjuna option if you do this will happen if you do this will happen now decide what you want to do so we will discuss this verse in the context of how there is an increasing interest in spirituality in the modern society, even in the corporate world. But this is spirituality without God. It is spirituality without God consciousness, or to speak of Krishna consciousness. So, so we'll discuss four points. Why it is becoming so popular? What is this? What is the problem with this brand of spirituality, which I'll explain. And then how does Krishna consciousness offer us a complete solution? What we as devotees can do to tap this new preaching avenue that is opening. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Smritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत वेदाधार श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो मेनी corporate magnates, top business magnates in the West as well as in the East are having many sort of spiritual gurus as their advisors or mentors. Many big companies also have a budget involving astronomical sums to conduct some sort of spirituality seminars so that their executives can become free from stress and become more efficient. Individually also, the percentage of people interested in spirituality as indicated by Gallup polls in the West is increasing. And the result overall of this is more of an opening up of the environment for spiritual messages. In fact, that's how in our preaching also, to some extent, we have been helped in some voices. We have voices of the registered club, I think, in Suratkal. In Warangal also, we can go and give presentations openly. Some of our devotees started preaching in America. So in Arizona State University, voices of the registered club. And they get the college classroom to conduct seminars on DYS and other courses. So overall, the environment is opening up. A survey done in America showed that almost 70% of American youth are interested in spiritual growth, and more than 20% are actually seeking opportunities for spiritual growth. They are trying to find out some avenues. So this is a little peculiar, because we see that India is becoming more and more materialistic, and obviously the West is materialistic. So if India is becoming more and more materialistic, then why is it becoming more and more open to spirituality? Generally, we think spiritual and material are opposites to each other. But this is a curious trend. And the reason for this is that when people pursue material pleasures, material gains, there are two consequences of that pursuit. One is stress, and the second is dissatisfaction. When we are pursuing it in order to get more and more and more and more, person becomes totally stressed out, because there is no end to one's desires, and there is no end to how much one can do in order to satisfy those desires. As Lord Krishna tells in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the characteristic of the mode of passion is starting new projects, taking up new activity. Lobha pravruttir arambha. Arambha means start. Pravruttir is activity. You take one thing before you begin, start on. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do that. I want to do everything. Why? Because I want to prove to the world how great I am. Lobha pravruttir arambha. And then there is karmanam ashamaha spruha. Shama means pacify. Ashamaha means that which cannot be pacified. Spruha. Spruha means desire. Ashamaha spruha. Uncontrollable desire. So because of uncontrollable desire, there is uncontrollable activity. Now there are two kinds of depression according to modern psychologists. One is a chronic depression, where a person just goes down and doesn't do anything. The other is manic depression. Manic depression means the person is depressed, but in order to cover his depression, there are temporary phases of hyperactivity where he just acts as if he is mad. He is like a man possessed, and he can do any amount of work in that time. So Srila Prabhupada, on the coast of Jaladut, on the coast of America in Jaladuga, so he said that the West is mostly covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. So chronic depression is a sign of the mode of ignorance. And manic depression is a sign of the mode of passion. So we see this. You know, people say during 5 days of the week they work so hard. And then one devotee was telling me in IIT that there are boys who take sort of some, they either take some drugs or some pills, and they sleep on Friday evening and wake up on Monday morning. And in between they wake up, they have some food right next to the bed. They eat the food, and then again they take that pill and go to sleep. And I think that is a very successful way of spending the weekend. I slept throughout the weekend. Pathetic. So we see that, why? Because life is so frustrating, there's so many things to do, and overall one gets stressed out, burned out, one just wants to forget everything. That's one way if one is pursuing things. But even if one achieves material gains, the result of that is sense gratification always ends in an anticlimax. Anticlimax means one saying, now I am going to enjoy, now I am going to get it. But after we get it, we find it disappointing. There is the hype that was there before, that when I would get it. But when I get it, I find that it's not so all that great. And we all have this experience. We think, if I get into this college, if I get into this company, or if I get this particular arrangement made, and even if it's, most of the times we don't get it. But even when we get it, it's not as great as it was made out to be. So it's an anticlimax. And because it's an anticlimax, people start searching for something else, something higher. And that's why many very wealthy people, they soon turn towards spirituality. Now, if we look at the history of the world, if 500 years ago, if we had a sort of time machine, we could go and observe society at that time. Then, we would find that most people were guided by what psychologists call as the feel right syndrome. Feel right means that whatever I am doing the right thing. I am an honest, morally upright person. I am a person with principles and integrity. So that was the feeling that would drive most people. Srila Prabhupada said that even in India, it was not that the four regulative principles were not broken in Vedic India. But that breaking was not a glamorous act. That was an abominable act. And somebody who would have to drink or smoke, you know, he would go somewhere in the corner of a village or behind a tree, hide and do that secretly. But now that shows on television. And that is glamorized. So, most people were guided by the feel right mentality. And therefore they would consciously choose to do the things that would be right according to the ethical and moral and spiritual norms prevalent in society at that time. So it's not that everybody was moral, but that is the way the majority of the masses were guided. Then, as science started taking over the social scene, then the religious basis for morality became undermined. Because if everything has come by chance, then what's right and what's wrong? Who's going to decide that? So then, as people became more and more materialistic in the sense that there is no spiritual aspect of the cosmos, there is only matter. And in the pursuit of matter is the only goal of life. Then the feel right syndrome was replaced by the feel rich syndrome. That means, do whatever will make you rich and whatever makes you not just rich but makes you feel rich. That means, not only do people have wealth but people like to flaunt their wealth. They want to exhibit how much wealth I have. This is called as exhibitionism. And you go in very jazzy cars or wear very fashionable dresses. And especially when boys are with girls, they like to show how much money they have to impress the girls. So this is the feel rich syndrome. And that is even today the predominant social, it's not ethical, so we can't use the word ethic, but it's the predominant social mindset even today. Feel rich. So, Lord Krishna also predicts this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, as soon as we remove God, asatyam apratishchante jagat ahuranishwaram, Lord Krishna says 16.9. And then the result of this, he tells in 16.11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 13, 14, 15, he says, what happens? See, and generally a morally principled person will hesitate to do anything criminal. But once a person is guided by the feel rich syndrome, then what happens? Anything that obstructs me in my pursuit of wealth, it's removed. So Lord Krishna tells, such a person starts making plans. Ida madhya maya labdham ivam prapsi manorata. If you read the 16.13, 14, 15 verses, they are just like the typical modern mindset. So demon is not some creature with a horn or something like that. So Jayadeva writes an article. So yes, there are that kind of creatures also, but the demons are people who are godless, who don't follow scriptures. So he says, your local politician might be a demon, your grocery man might be a demon, your postman might be a demon, or you might be a demon. So Srila Prabhupada describes in that 16.6, which is, and there are two kinds of living beings. There are two kinds of living beings in this world, the demoniac and the divine. So there he says that both of them are born for the Prajapati. Both the demons and the demigod are sons of Kashyap Muni. But then what is the difference? He says, why are one considered demoniac and the other considered divine? So there is only one criteria. And one criteria is that the demigods follow the scriptures and the demons defy the scriptures. And if you see in Kali Yuga, how many people follow the scriptures? So, with all due respect, practically most of the people in Kali Yuga are demons, according to the Vedic understanding. Now, this word demon is very frightening to use, because when we use Vedic terminology, in English, then the English term has some connotation. So the English term demon, which comes from the Christian theology, is the idea of a incorrigible, irreformable person who is condemned to damnation. But the Vedic idea is that anybody can be transformed. So Prabhupada was telling that anybody who doesn't follow Shastra is a demon. So Kirtanaga Maharaj, Prabhupada, but we can't tell people that they are demons. No, that's the truth, Prabhupada says. You have to tell them. No, people will be shocked. And he said, yes, we want to shock them. Then Prabhupada asked him, can demons become devotees? Yes, Prabhupada said, if they chant Hare Krishna. So you follow the scripture, then you change. So the essential criteria is that whether a person is following scriptures or not. Then the main scripture injunction for Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy names. So anyway, so Lord Krishna tells that what is the mentality of these demoniac people who are guided by the feel. So feel right means ultimately it is based on scriptures. But feel rich means it is based on one's own greed. So idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapse manavatam. So this much wealth I have obtained now. And I have all these schemes by which I will attain this much wealth. And then once this greed becomes much more, then he says, asau maya hataha shatru hanishye cha paranapi. This enemy I have killed. And that enemy I will soon kill. And then, ishvaro aham aham bhogi siddham balvan. I am the greatest. I am most powerful. I have so many aristocratic relatives. Ko anyo asti sadrusho maya. Who is there as great as me? And Lord Krishna says then, itya agyana vimohita. In this way, in ignorance, these fools are bewildered, these demons are bewildered. So, if we see the 16th chapter, it is predominantly describing practically the kind of life that all of us are living before and the kind of life that most people in Kali Yuga are living. So, the result of this is, the feel-rich syndrome is violence, immorality, corruption, which is what we see in society. However, as I said, the feel-rich syndrome leads to either stress or emptiness, lack of fulfillment. And that's why many people change over from the feel-rich to the feel-good syndrome. Feel-good syndrome means do that which makes you feel good. Makes you feel good about yourself, good about others. And one thing that many wealthy people do because of this is charity. It's not that they are charitable in the sense that they like to part with the money. They don't like to part with the money, but they feel that when I give money and when others praise me for that, or even if others don't praise me, just when I see the other person smile and I feel, oh, I'm such a nice person, I can make others smile. So I can make others happy. This is envy in the mode of goodness. Envy of Krishna in the mode of goodness. See, Krishna is the ultimate maintainer. And if I think I can maintain all these hungry school children who are starving, I can maintain all these starving people in Somalia and Asia and whatever, I am the maintainer. So, in the mode of passion, envy for Krishna manifests as sex. Because mode of passion means creator. So sex is the activity by which we procreate and we control and enjoy. But actually social service, with again all due respect to social service, it is actually, if it is not permeated with God consciousness, it is envy of Krishna in the mode of goodness. So anyways, this is the feel good syndrome, and that does have some benefits. It's like in American history there was a very wealthy business magnate named Rockefeller, and he would always be in so much stress because of his trying to earn more and more that he could hardly eat anything. And what he would just have to survive on soup. And then he met some spiritually minded person, some Christian priest or some saint or something like that, and who inspired him to start giving charity. And after he started giving charity, he found that he became so happy. And his digestive problems, which could not be cured by any medicine, were cured. But just the mind became satisfied to some extent. So the feel-good syndrome has its benefits. Because all of us have an innate conscience. Of course, the conscience is largely molded by social and cultural influences rather than scriptural influences. But still, the feel-good syndrome has its benefit. And what modern versions of spirituality that are becoming popular, they all cater to this feel-good instinct. That means, actually if you ask people what is spiritual, most people think, don't understand the difference between mental and spiritual. They think anything that makes me feel good is spiritual. So before coming to Krishna Consciousness, I had attended a seminar of one so-called, this type of spirituality teacher. So he said, now I will give you a wonderful spiritual experience. Everybody said, what is that? Close your eyes. Take deep breath. Imagine that you are on the banks of the Ganga River. On the other side you see the Himalayas. You see the clouds flowing in the sky. You see the birds flying. You see the wind rustling. You hear the sound of the birds chirping. You feel the fresh breeze from the river coming in your face, going into your nose, ears, and completely refreshing you. You are feeling calm, peaceful, at home with yourself. On and on, blah 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 blah. He went on. And after this for 10 minutes, how did you feel? Oh, one person was sitting there. I never felt so peaceful in my life till now. Now it's not that we want people to be agitated. That's not the point here, but this is all just imagination. And what we are doing by projecting the mind to a peaceful scenario, we think that I have become peaceful. Yes, it may pacify the mind, but we have to go deeper and understand what is it that is agitating the mind. The mind is not agitated just by external circumstances. Yes, the cars going by, the horns honking, and all the noises of the streets, they may agitate the mind. But more than that, what agitates the mind is our own desires within the mind. So, if we really want to become peaceful, then we have to change our desires. So what modern spirituality does is, it just caters to the feel-good. So the feel-good syndrome means, just have experiences. Experience how wonderful life is. But unfortunately, that experience remains only a temporary experience. In Krishna consciousness, we don't offer experiences, we offer transformation. People's lives get transformed. So one devotee in Surat Kala was telling me that his friend joined some other spiritual organization. He said that I had many spiritual experiences. What experiences did you have? And this devotee said, what experiences did I have? He said, they asked me, what should I tell him? He said, your life itself is a spiritual experience. Because we see the result is that they transformed. Like I had gone for this one conference. So one Sri Guruji had come there. So he was supposed to be a spiritual speaker and he spoke. So he was telling, sab kuch man ka khel hai. Man ko balwan bana lo, koi samasya nahi hai zindagi mein. Mujhe dekho. एक दिन मैं लंदन में सिगरेट पी रहा था, तभी एक आदमी आया और कहा, आप स्वामी हो, आपको सिगरेट नहीं पीना चाहिए, अच्छा नहीं है। मैंने कहा, क्या अच्छा है, क्या बुरा है? सब कुछ मन का खेल। पिछले 15 साल से रोज मैं तंबाकू खाता हूँ और सिगरेट पीता हूँ, पर कोई ब्लड प्रेशर नहीं है, कोई हार्ट प्रॉब्लम नहीं है। क्यों? क्योंकि मन बलवान है। मन को बलवान बना लो, सब कुछ ठीक हो जाएगा. दिस इज देयर आइडिया. मेक योर माइंड स्ट्रॉन्ग एंड नो नीड टू चेंज योर लाइफस्टाइल. यू कैन डू वॉट एवर यू लाइक. पीपल गेट वेरी इंप्रेस्ड. यस, बिकॉज पीपल डोंट वॉन्ट टू गिव देयर सेल्फ ग्रेटिफिकेशन. यस, आई कैन मेक माई माइंड स्ट्रॉन्ग एंड आई कैन हैव इलिसिट सेक्स, आई कैन हैव इंटॉक्सिकेशन, आई कैन डू ऑल थिंग्स. व्हाट इज द प्रॉब्लम? हाउएवर, एक्चुअली बियॉन्ड द माइंड इज द सोल. And yes, our thinking does affect our living. But thinking doesn't change the facts of life. Isn't it? somebody will think, oh, sab kuch man ka khel hai, everything is a play of the mind. But when you grow old, get diseased and die, that is not a play of the mind. Actually, I have to die. When we go to Yamaraj and he beats you, that is not a play of the mind. So, yes, we have to change our mind, our mindset and our thinking. And positive thinking can help us. But positive thinking, without knowing the positive facts of life, without knowing the positive goal of life, that is misleading. So, actually most people think that everything just depends on the mind. But the mind can only pursue reality in a right or wrong way. But if I don't know the reality only, then even if I'm perceiving a wrong thing in a right way, what is the use? Just like, say now, we were coming to Magarpatta. And suppose we had a map. And we're searching, where is the Magarpatta yoga? And we're trying to come here. Then, okay, if we're not able to find, we can be positive. Yes, we'll find. And we'll come here. But suppose, if I have the map of Karuna Sindhu Yoga, if I have the map of Koth Road, then no matter how much positive attitude I have, I'm not going to reach the place. So, yes, attitude helps, but when I have the right direction in life, without the right direction, the right attitude, what is the use? So similarly, not originally there is feel right. It's not just feel right, but be right. And we according to scripture, yeah. We follow scripture, and we are on the right track. So there is the feel good syndrome. There is a book in the West. And that was there when Prabhupada was also there. So they already showed this book to Prabhupada. This book was titled, I am okay, you are okay. Don't be filled with so much anxiety. Everything is alright in this world. I am okay, you are okay. So Prabhupada looked at that book and said, this is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, I am okay, you are not okay. Because it's not an egoistic way. Yes, we are following scripture. And if you follow scripture, you will also become okay. But, like people have this, the Gita sar. Jo hua, wo achha hua. Jo ho raha hai, wo achha ho raha hai. Jo hone wala hai, wo bhi achha ho. I don't know any verse in the Bhagavad Gita. No verse at all, absolutely. So the essence of the Gita is something which is not there in the Gita. And anyway, this is not the philosophy of the Gita. It doesn't make any sense actually. The whole Gita is telling us do something and don't do something. So yes, in one sense, whatever God is doing, that is good, that will be good and that was good. But the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is not to inform that what God is doing is good. The purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to tell us that what we should do is good. Isn't it? So yes, what God is doing is good, but the question is whether what I am doing is good or not. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita is supposed to tell. So this sort of statements when people hear, jo ho raha hai, wo achha ho raha hai, jo hone wala hai, wo achha hai. People get an artificial sense of peace. But unless we understand what I should do in life, we are not going to actually get a proper result. It's like if a person jumps off an airplane, he may feel good. Yes, the wind is going through my ears. But that is not a good thing to do, isn't it? It's going to be destroyed. So similarly, feel good is not a reliable criteria for deciding one's direction in life. We have to mold ourselves according to scriptures. That's why what is being offered in the name of spirituality is just a positive mental attitude sort of thing. Just something which pacifies the mind and strengthens the mind, but which doesn't address the soul at all. And therefore, it is like a painkiller which removes the pain, but which doesn't cure the disease. The person feels good, but for how long? Again, the pain is going to surface. And that's why if you see many spiritual organizations or spiritual teachers of this category are not able to transform their followers. And they are not able to transform themselves also. What can they transform their followers? So therefore, the spirituality, although it may become popular, that is also like a phase. And of course, Krishna consciousness is also rapidly spreading all over the world. And even in India it is spreading rapidly. At the same time, now we understand that if we want to experience peace, then we have to pay the price. The price is that we have to give up the desire that causes agitation. If I want to become peaceful, then I have to give up agitating desires. And nowadays people want I want peace. But then they say we want peace, but both sides are increasing their weapons. Whatever conflict, then how can we have peace? So if we keep agitating ourselves with material desires, then how can we possibly have peace? So what people want is today, they want sattvaguni peace and they want rajoguni enjoyment. But no, if we want rajoguni enjoyment, we will have to have the rajoguni agitation of the mind also. Because it comes in a pair, which are inseparable. Or if you want sattvaguni peace, then we have to have sattvaguni enjoyment, the more refined forms of enjoyment, which come by understanding scriptures and following scriptures, increasing our knowledge and living in knowledge. So, even Krishna consciousness, there are devotees who are offering courses in leadership, management, all over the world. And they are getting a good response. At the same time, when we interact with this kind of people, who appear to be spiritual, but actually, there is no substance of spirituality. Like one spiritual teacher, he says, he calls himself spiritual teacher, he says, I am not concerned with the next life. I am concerned making your life better here and now. And people say, yeah, very good, that's practical. But then, for them, is that practical? Is that practical, when is it going to come? Isn't it? So the facts of life, when we deny them, we cheat ourselves. Therefore, as devotees, what we have to learn is that we should not be bewildered if we see this proliferation of so-called spiritual teachers. They may be directly offering a so-called self-help. I once wrote an article, why self-help can't help. Why self-help can't help? Because actually we need God's help, not self-help. So self-help, they have this category called DIY. DIY means do it yourself. Don't go to school. They are the followers of Eklavya. Don't go to any guru. Just learn it yourself and do it yourself. But no, real scripture says that we have to actually turn towards Krishna, turn towards God and take His guidance and mold our life accordingly. So in Krishna consciousness, does our mind become peaceful? Yes and no. Yes, it becomes peaceful, but sometimes we feel when we have so many services to do and so many things to do, we think maybe if I don't do any service, I'll be more peaceful. No, that is a misconception, because we still have rajoguna within us. And that the residual rajoguna within us, the residual passion will make us anxious. So, if we don't take up anxiety for Krishna, then we will take up anxiety for Maya. If we say, okay, I will be very peaceful, I will live a very calm, cool lifestyle, I will not take much services, I will just read and hear. But then we will start reading and hearing and our mind will go everywhere. And then we will be agitated by material desires. And we will be agitated by how to fulfill the material desires. So, we cannot just wish away the rajoguna within us. Yes, we have lived in a passionate society. And we have lived a passionate lifestyle ourselves. So we cannot just wish it away. Wish it away means, oh, if only all the passion goes away. It won't go away like that. Therefore, Vaishnavacharya says, Kaam Krishna Karmarpane. Use your passion to do service to Krishna. Krishna Karmarpane. So when we do a lot of services for Krishna enthusiastically, although at one level, the services, doing the services on time, doing the services well, it seems to cause anxiety. But actually what is happening is that our passion is getting purified and exhausted. And without doing that, we just peacefully do nothing. And we start feeling, oh, I'm not doing anything in my life, I'm wasting my life. Actually, those who are living in passion are wasting their lives. But we start thinking, I'm wasting my life. I should do something wonderful. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, the devotees are offered so many wonderful services. So we have a passion there, we all want to feel that. I want to do something wonderful in my life. So now if we let ourselves be influenced by the material mindset and material association, then we will think that I have to do something wonderful material. And that will just drag us more and more into the mode of passion in the universe. But if we stay in the association of devotees and let ourselves be influenced by devotees, very important that we are influenced by devotees. Like Lord Krishna says that how a devotee should live in materialistic people's association? Padma Patra Vivambhasa. Padma Patra Vivambhasa means just like a lotus which is unaffected by the water. The water comes on it, but the lotus glides on it. So that means we will go in the association of devotees, but we are not affected by them. But unfortunately, sometimes we come in the association of devotees and are unaffected by the devotees. You know, in the devotee association, we are Padma Patra Vivambhasa. Real association means when we associate with the devotee, we should get the devotee's desire. That is association. Devotees are enthusiastic to chant, they are enthusiastic to preach, they are enthusiastic to serve Krishna. And by associating with those devotees, we should get those desires. Then that is real association. So, in the association of devotees, when we take up challenging, exciting services and do a lot for Krishna, then the passion will get exhausted. And that service to Krishna, there is the real harmony between the soul and the super soul. And that is the basis of peace. Lord Krishna tells in 2.66 that Nasti buddhir ayuktasya na cha ayuktasya bhavana na cha bhavitaha shantir ashantasya kutaha sukham. Somebody might pretend to be very peaceful externally. That is also a facade that people put on. The more senior you become in a company, you are supposed to be more peaceful and calm. And then everybody will respect you more. But that is just a facade. Internally, they all have agitating desires and they will explode sooner or later. So many of these peaceful people peacefully commit suicide after. It's true. So sometimes some people commit suicide and their colleagues wonder what happened. He was a normal person. But it's not normal, he was pretending to be normal. So Lord Krishna says that, you know, if you want to be peaceful, it's not just external. It says nasti buddhir ayuktasya. Yukta means connected with Krishna. As long as you're not connected with Krishna, nasti buddhi. You cannot have real intelligence. And as long as you don't have real intelligence, nacha ayuktasya bhavana. We cannot have a peaceful, we cannot have a calm mind. And if you don't have a calm mind, nacha bhavetaha shanti. Then how can we have peace? And if you don't have peace, ashantasya kutaha sukham. Where can we have happiness? So even if we see these materialistic people, young men and women, boys and girls, laughing and smiling and doing all that, that is just a show. So the mind is agitated by so many desires. Ashantasya kutaha sukham. How can there be any happiness? But a devotee, because he becomes yukta with Krishna, sa yuktaha sa sukhi naraha. Lord Krishna says 5.23 that one who tolerates the material desires and continues on the devotional service, he stays connected with me, sa yuktaha and sa sukhi naraha. He stays happy. He alone is happy actually. Everyone else is just agitated. And if we learn Krishna consciousness philosophy properly, see, Krishna consciousness offers us a Satvaguni lifestyle. And Satvaguni lifestyle will also bring peace, will also bring calmness, which will actually influence people over a period of time. So, as devotees, we have to learn that Krishna consciousness essentially means a lifestyle change. How much is my lifestyle? Actually, what people call a lifestyle is today is death style. They are just in the name of style, they are going towards death. Like a person goes on a bike, splendor. That's stylish. Some truck might come from my head and what will happen? He won't die in style actually. He'll die pathetically. What is that? Live life king size, die rat size, and be reborn dog size. So, that is just an illusion. But as devotee, the more we now in the yoga, all of us are getting training of how to live a spiritual lifestyle. But actually, if we take this training and imbibe it in our life, and make this a part of our life, so that even when we don't have the external environment which is gently forcing us to have a spiritual lifestyle, but even when we are away from it, we will maintain this. It becomes a part of us. Then Krishna consciousness will become susukham kalpama udayam. Krishna consciousness will joyfully perform. See, as long as the mode of passion is there, the mode of passion agitates our mind with so much material desire that we cannot taste Krishna consciousness. Just like sweet rice is delicious. When somebody puts sand in sweet rice, then eating the sweet rice, we get a little sweet and then we get a little sand. Disgusting. So our enjoyment of Krishna consciousness is like that. Now we enjoy dancing, singing, but then suddenly Maya starts saying, yeah, you have to get this, you have to get that, and then all the joy goes away. So what we do when we purify our heart is, we remove the sand. The more we remove the sand, the more then there is just pure sweet rice. And then we get delicious more and more. So by making the Krishna conscious lifestyle as our lifestyle, by imbibing it as a part of our own nature, then susukham kartum avayam, then our life will become joyful. So I'll summarize. We started with the reason why spirituality is more and more popular. That is because just the material pursuits lead to stress and emptiness, disappointment. And so people want something higher. And historically discussed, originally people were guided by the feel right mentality. Then it became feel rich mentality. And now it is changing slowly to feel good. So the real way to become happy is not just feel good, but actually to be good, to be right, be based on scripture. So feel good itself. So what people call as spirituality is mostly all dealing with the mind. Just adjust your mind, don't think negative, think positive, and everything will be alright.
No.
If I don't have the right direction, the right map, just a positive attitude cannot get me to the destination. And just a positive attitude cannot change the facts of life. Old age, disease, death, transmigration. So therefore, yes, adjusting the mind is important, but the mind has to be adjusted not while maintaining our materialistic lifestyle, but the real adjustment of the mind has to be done by changing the goal of our life, by understanding our spiritual nature and making that the goal of our life. That's why real spirituality means a lifestyle change, where we harmonize our soul with Krishna. Otherwise, just the experience remains only an experience, it is insubstantial. And in Krishna consciousness, we, to the extent we change our lifestyle, to that extent we experience real peace and happiness. Just like to the extent we remove sand, we can delight in the sweet rice. So thank you very much. Is there any question? Do we have time? 7:45. Should we have individually afterwards? Yeah. So we can carry on, those of you have to carry on. If any of you have questions, you can ask. Yes.
Somebody is saying, I'm not concerned with next life, like death, that kind of thing. Happen, like, okay. So how should we give them the initial
training? Yes, we also, that's why we start with art of mind control, stress management, self management. So if you see, our topics are also utilitarian. That means we also know that this is what people want, but we provide them through spirituality. So I'm saying that we cannot start with this only. Our life will cause stress, our life will cause dissatisfaction. So if you want real happiness, then this is what Krishna consciousness offers us that. See, as devotees, we have to have different weapons. And whichever weapon works, we have to use it. So, some people, when they are stressed, if we offer them this mantra meditation, that will help. But then they feel, I am not stressed. You know, my mind is not out of control. You are not out of control of your mind. So you So, you know, just as if a horse is completely controlled by the rope, and the horse is also not trying to move any wrong other direction, he will not even notice that I am controlled by the rope. If the horse starts moving and the master puts, then he feels the pain. Then he will understand that I am controlled by the rope. So you are so much surrendered to Maya that you don't even feel Maya's control, because you are her obedient servant. So, see, when authority is felt as authority, only when there is opposition. So if I am not opposing my authority, then I will not feel any our authority at all. So it's not that nobody's mind is under control. But people who are very faithfully following their mind's orders, the mind is not troubling them, because they are surrendered to their mind. It is of course temporary, the mind will also start troubling them eventually, because they will not be able to fulfill all the demands of the mind. So if somebody says that my mind is under control, then we can talk about spirituality. Then we can talk about next life and how how, even if we are happy in this life, what is the use? See, most people are concerned with making their life comfortable now only. Okay, then you tell them, okay, if you want to make your life happy and stress-free, then there's Krishna consciousness. See, somebody says that, no, my life is already happy and stress-free. You tell them, what is the use? And still we are going to die, still we are going to grow old. What about the permanent gain? So that's how we can try. Or somebody scientifically might can tell them, science is discovering something so much interesting. Or another way to, we can strike a patriotic sort of chord by talking about how the Indian wisdom is recognized all over the world. So there are different ways in which we can strike a interest. Or somebody might have a good upbringing and we can just relate with that and bring them to Krishna consciousness. So devotee should have different weapons and use whatever he finds is the best at that particular time to kindle the interest of others. Okay? Another question? Yes.
So you said that changing desire is should be our goal. So sometimes due to spiritual desire also our mind becomes agitated.
Such as?
Means sometimes due to spiritual desire there's a lot of many desires. Mind becomes agitated.
See, the spiritual desire means the desire to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That is the spiritual desire. Not that if I think I want to go to Vrindavan and become a Babaji. Is that a spiritual desire? It's a mystical desire, not a spiritual desire. The real spiritual desire is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And if in that sometimes our mind gets agitated, then we have to consult with the spiritual master as a representative and find a realistic way by which we can come to that level, what he is expecting. It's not that in one day we will come to the standard that is expected. If we think like that, then we will become agitated. Yes, we have to become more attentive in our chanting, to become more dedicated in our preaching. There's so many things we have to do. But then we have to have a realistic plan. In our life, we have to have the stars and the stairs. The stars means the goal, what I want to become. But the stars are so high that we think, okay, let them be there, I'll be here only. Now, along with that, we also have to have the stairs. Okay, what steps I should take to come to that actually eventually. So if we are guided in our spiritual desires, then they will not cause agitation. In fact, they will give the direction in life. And they will bring us a sense of accomplishment for us when we achieve it.
We should take anxiety for Krishna. But sometimes due to that anxiety, we go away from Krishna.
Yeah. See, there has just like a student when he is preparing for his exams. If the exam is 6 months away, he doesn't study much. But if the exam is 6 hours away, then how will you study? So then there is some anxiety. That anxiety acts as an impetus for study. But if that anxiety goes out of control, then he just becomes stressed out and doesn't study at all. That is not desirable. That's why when we take up anxiety also, we should take up anxiety in a manageable way. Not that we take up such a big load that we can't do anything. So we have to take up anxiety in a regulated way. That means take some service which is just a little beyond our capacity. Then that will make us a little angry. If it's within my capacity, then it's a comfort zone. If it's way beyond my capacity, then so just like, you know, so I do weightlifting every day. What do I lift? I lift this plate of that. No matter how much I lift, I'm not going to develop any muscles by that, isn't it? But if I say I go for weightlifting, I don't lift the 300 kg weight. No, I'll get crushed under it. That is a panic zone. So then if my capacity is 10 kg or 15 kg, then I try to lift 16 kg. That is a stretch zone. So each of us has to find out in consultation with our senior devotee what is our stretch zone for us. And do that. If there's no anxiety or there's too much anxiety, then we'll get into our life will become unbalanced. Okay? Any more questions?
Yes. Regarding while reaching to others. Like when it comes to, suppose, I can give you the example that my colleague, when I, yesterday we are hired at office. So he says that, okay, this all things are the life and in basic things. So what changes it brings to your life? So the thing which I explained him that, okay, even though I know that these things are not going to change, which I have explained just now, but when I understand this from scriptural point of view, then it gives me a calmness and peaceful of the mind. That is, but then I told him that this calmness and peaceful thing, they are the byproducts. The main achieving thing which we want to achieve is that we understand that I am not this body but the spirit soul. That understanding goes on becoming more and more firm. So that way can we tell them that?
Yeah. Yeah. Most people are not interested too much in the goal of life also, unfortunately. Isn't it? So what we have to tell them is especially that if we have a spiritual consciousness that helps us to face the ups and downs much more confidently because we know where we are going. So we have to talk about both. And we have to talk about how we now have a goal, but we also have a process. So when we preach to other people, we have to tell about the ultimate benefit that we are going to get, but also the intermediate benefit also that we are getting. So just like if you are if you are walking on the street and every building appears very big. But if you are flying in a plane, then the building appears insignificant. So like that, if you are alone in this world, every problem appears very big. But if our consciousness is lifted up by God consciousness, by spirituality, it's like we are in a plane. And all the problems are manageable. Yes, no, we know that we can deal with them. By God's grace, we will be able to deal with them. So that's what happens actually. You can yourself think. Some of the problems that we face in our life, if we didn't have Krishna consciousness, just overwhelming us. So this is where we are talking about the benefits that you get here also, here and now. Spirituality raises our consciousness up, by which you can see everything in proper perspective and not be affected. So we have to talk about both the benefits here and the benefits ultimately. Then people can relate to it.
Because generally they talk about this thing only, like, okay, you are saying that these things are there, I agree. But what you are getting by following that particular thing?
Yeah.
Okay, because anyway you are also going to get that.
Yeah, unless people understand that I am not the body, I am the soul, and spiritual consciousness has practical benefits, then only they can actually be transformed. Otherwise, the philosophy itself doesn't appear immediately practical. For people who are not interested in the goal of life, for them it doesn't appear immediately relevant or practical. Therefore, we have to tell what are the practical benefits here and now, and then we can talk about the ultimate benefits. Last, you have a question?
We are presenting because more abstract, like what we are getting, we are not able to even tell them in more practical and tangible way, like mutual one or problems actually.
See, another example we give is how what happens in meditation is that just like a boat which is on the ocean is constantly shaken. But the boat is anchored. Then the anchor is something which is very heavy and unshakable, and the boat is not shaken. So what we do essentially in meditation is we anchor our consciousness to God. So then the changes of this world will keep agitating everyone, but to the extent we are anchored to the unchanging, we will not be affected by the changes. So we will stay calm in dealing with the ups and downs of this world. So we have to talk about this both. We have to do the philosophy, but we also, like the philosopher talks primarily about the going back home, back to God, which people can't relate to. We also have to talk about how we are benefited here. And especially if you tell about your own life, people are shocked. You wake up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and then so many things. Many of our company devotees, if they tell about their life to their colleagues, how do you do so much? Actually, it's amazing. They struggle to do that because they waste so much time and so many other things. They struggle to do their job only. Devotees do their job, and apart from that, they're doing so many other things. So, I think we have to tell about the benefits here and now also. But you also have to tell about the ultimate goal. It is to balance in presenting both. And bring them to a spiritual environment. If possible, bring them to yoga, bring them to the temple. And then, once they see it, then it influences them much more.
If they fail to see any passion in us, in our work also, and that becomes a lot of misrepresentation. Somehow that we cannot have it, or like they expect and we don't have it. Then how to overcome that? We are able to do our natural
work,
but there is no passion in them to do something.
Yeah. See, there are two kinds of demons. The first is the hardcore demons who are irreformable, and others is those who are under demoniac influence. They are also living like demons, but they are just influenced by demoniac propaganda. So those who are irreformable demons, we cannot change them only. And that's why if you see Uttamadhikara distinguishes. Prema, Maitri, Krupa, Upeksha. So for those who are Balisheshu, those who are innocent, that means those are under demonic influence. They may be living materialistically, but they are under demonic influence. So for them, Krupa. For them, we try to give the spiritual knowledge association and try to help from them. But Vishatsu, those who are envious, then Upeksha, we have to neglect them. So you know, it's not that everybody will be impressed by a devotee's lifestyle. But there are people who will be impressed. You have to find them and focus on them. You cannot impress everyone. Because Kaliyuga is Shavidvarahoshtakarai. Cat, dogs, camels and asses. They will glorify others who are bigger cats, dogs, camels and asses. So therefore we cannot expect everybody to appreciate. Better find out those who are a little appreciative of the way we are living and focus on them. And they will appreciate that we are living in a competitive multinational company, working there, and still we are able to be calm and peaceful, rather than becoming overwhelmed by passion. So those who want to see passion in us, then they are not the people who are likely to become devotees also. Then Maya has to feed them the fruits of their passion. Then they will understand the passion is not so good. And then they will the passion soon turns into poison. When passion is there, it appears very nice. But soon it turns into poison. So we have to stop it. We have to leave those people. We cannot preach to them right now. Thank you very much. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakti ki, Gaur Premanand.